Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Welcome to another episode of a Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Eric.
Hello.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
It's been years since I last potted.
Hush. Hush, hush, hush. Welcome to 2020, right? We're in the future.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't sound that excited.
It feels different.
It's disappointing, yes. Today we are discussing Picard. It's a Star Trek show on CBS All Access. You guys may have heard of it.
No. Yeah, I think so. Sure. Yeah. I think people have.
Let me start off with something exciting. So, listeners, I live in New York City now, and I got an alert on my phone that told me that at Times Square, which I really hate going to Times Square. So in Times Square, they were going to have a big Starfleet logo where you can take pictures, get a free Picard poster. And as part of the promotion for Picard, they were going to give out, you could buy a subway pass with Picard's face on it and number one. So I did that. I went, I took a goofy picture in front of this huge Starfleet logo. They had all these really big, huge screens with Picard's face on it. And I got my poster. I got to see other Nerdy Trek people in costume, but I wasn't feeling well, so I didn't like socialize or anything. But then I went out of my way to go to one of the stations that they had. They had the station set out in the shape of the Starfleet insignia. So I went to one of the stations and I had to interact with somebody to get the number one dog, because you can only get number one by talking with the MTA crew member at the desk. So you buy one from him, and then the Picard head, you get our face with his head on it or whatever, you can get from the machine. So I bought a couple of those, and I like the little quest kind of thing that they did for it. It was kind of cool that, hey, if you're not in New York, you just missed out on it and you had to get it on that particular day. I think they still have the passes, but I don't know. I really enjoy like the exclusivity of it. So it was a little fun to start off the new show that way.
That's fantastic. Here at around the same time in South Texas, I was watching Stray Cats on the porch, and I didn't actually get a notification that was happening, but I was just happened to be there at the right time on premiere day.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's kind of the same, not exactly, but
no, you are just ridiculous. So I think I was really excited about Picard, mainly because it's Jean Picard. We haven't had any like new Star Trek with old cast members in a while. Star Trek Discovery is amazing. I love it. I love the movies with the new cast of Enterprise, but you know, it's nothing like the old school. And so I was really happy to have this back. How excited were you for this, or were you just, you knew it was going to be good? Like, where was your head at with this?
It's going to be a disappointing answer.
Oh.
No, because of course I was looking forward to it, but I've already been adopting this frame of mind. I don't know how many years ago, 3 years ago, four. There's not an exact moment, but around 4 years ago, give or take, I already came to the conclusion there's just so much good television constantly coming out, and it never stops, that even when I know something's on the horizon, like, oh, Picard's, because I mean, I heard about it when they first announced it, you know, like in, or they were just rumoring about it like in 2018.
Sure.
And I'm just like, yeah, it's just going to be here. I just know it's going to be here. And so then I just kind of don't even think about it and then just keep consuming all the other new shows that keep coming out in the meantime and all the other unexpected movies that come along that are so good. And then before I know it, it's here. So even though I knew it was there, I knew it was coming, I didn't have that like anticipation for like Christmas Day opening presents. It was just like, I know it's going to get here, and as soon as it does, I'm there. And I literally did not think about it much until about a day or two before I knew it was going to be out. And then I was like, okay, I want to see this. And that was it. So it's a super boring, simple story. But that's kind of how I treat everything now. Or not everything.
But I mean, it's Star Trek. I mean,
it is. It is. But, I mean, even though it is, like you say, the first continuation of the future times, or, you know, of the series or the franchise as a whole, you know, I was fine with Discovery on its own. So this just felt like extra. You know what I mean? That's probably why I was more excited about Discovery when it first came out, because it was the first return to the small screen in so many years. So that was the thing to me at the time. But now I'm like, hey, you know, Discovery is good. And now here comes Picard, and I'm like, if it's great, awesome. And if it's like not great, it's okay. It's whatever. So I was just, that's kind of the attitude I had going into it. I didn't have any high expectations. I didn't know if it was going to be fantastic or not. I hadn't heard any pre-buzz, good or bad, or of any kind. I just assumed it was probably going to be okay. But yeah.
You know what? I agree with you on one part of, I didn't have any expectations other than, I knew I was going to watch it. I didn't know if it was going to be good or not. I didn't know what they were going to do. I didn't know if they were going to pull a Game of Thrones and kill him in the first episode.
I just didn't. That wasn't going to happen.
Because it's literally called Picard, but you never know. People are crazy. But yeah, I do have to agree. I didn't read any of the articles. I don't know. It just, one day it was here. And it's not because I was distracted with good shows, because I've been slacking. But yeah, it was here. I watched it and I was pleased. And I don't know. So I guess we want to get into why we were pleased and talk about, you know, just the show at length. I guess I'll go into, we open with Picard and Data playing poker, you know, as per the original the Next Generation original series. And it was good. It was good to see a cool throwback. It was cool to see Data, because, like, Data's dead, right?
Yes.
And didn't he die in a movie? Right?
Yes. Yes.
I'm forgetting, because it's been a while. And I'm like, okay, he died in what? Insurrection, right?
No.
No. What?
Nemesis?
He died in Nemesis?
The last Next Generation movie?
I don't know why I'm putting Insurrection as last in my mind.
It is definitely not last.
I got confused. Not. This is what I love, because if I don't watch something for a very long time, I kind of forget, and it makes it a little bit more exciting, because I have to kind of like, you know.
Yeah, not that I watch Nemesis frequently, but I've probably seen it within the last year. But
I haven't seen it in years, and I haven't seen it. I'm more of a fan of the TV show, so when it comes to watching the movies, I'm a little weak there. So, except for First Contact, that's my personal favorite. I know it's not good to say, but
why is it not good to say?
I guess because people say, oh, Rathacon is supposed to be everybody's favorite, blah blah blah.
Well, that's certainly everyone's favorite overall, but First Contact is many people's second favorite out of all of them.
Shut up.
No, I'm saying it's a very popular movie. It's extremely popular, but just not number one, no pun intended.
Thank you. How did it make you feel seeing Data and Picard there? I mean, when it just first opened, you're just presented with nostalgia.
Immediately I knew it was like a dream sequence or something. Not like a scene from the past. I knew that right away. But it wasn't so much seeing Data and Picard again as much as I reacted to seeing the Enterprise D. I didn't expect to see that in one of the opening shots. Yes. And then just the way the music is playing before the starfields in the beginning. I had like, if you know the movie WALL-E fairly well, crazy WALL-E vibe.
Yeah.
So I thought, I think I do something weird and whimsy like that. I don't know. But then you had the scene, and then, like, of course it was a dream or something, as I expected. It was either a dream or, like, some holo projection or something. But for the characters themselves, there was no surprise or necessarily any nostalgia for me at that point. More just for the ship, and then kind of nothing else at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know that Data was going to be in it. I thought maybe they wouldn't because...
You never saw like a trailer or something?
No. Didn't even watch the damn trailers.
Have you seen the trailer now? Like after the end of watching?
Nope, still haven't.
Well, then you may not want to.
Wait, oh my God, wait a second. I watched one trailer and 7 and 9 was in it. And that's really all I remember from it.
I was going to say...
Because I was super pumped to see 7 and 9.
I didn't do much... you know, pre-research or anything, I mean, before seeing it at all. But I knew enough to know that I was going to see Data, or in some form or fashion. So that was not any kind of surprise. Mm-hmm. And I kind of know who all the other faces are who are going to show up too, just because, but, you know, whatever.
If I saw it, I forgot because I was only pumped up about Picard and 7 and 9. So, I don't know. Data he's never been one of my strongest favorite, but I always loved him, you know? So I personally always thought that they would never bring him back because Brent Spiner, he's a little older, he's shaped a little different. They don't want to deal with the androids aged and blah, blah. And I'm glad they just kind of dispense with that and just put him in because nobody cares. We want.
Well, you can't tell that much. I mean, he looks surprisingly similar to...
He does, yeah.
Well... especially to how he did in Nemesis. It doesn't look that different. But if you see him in real life, though, he looks really different nowadays. It's just, you just can't tell with, like, the wig and the makeup and everything.
Yeah. I don't know. He looked great. I was happy to see him. So that's awesome. Let's see. Then there was only one critique is in this, and it comes with the next scene of the young girl and her boyfriend, was that, you know, that old trope where the black man always dies first. They literally did this, and I was just annoyed a little bit because it's like, oh, nobody noticed that, or somebody did it on purpose and nobody said anything. So running joke in Hollywood. There it is. Black man dies first. So I thought that was little, you know, call out. You have no. Okay, you don't care. That's fine.
No, I know. I think it's a matter of happenstance. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know. I'm projecting myself into the creators of the show, the writers and showrunners, but I think they were just going for the token kill the black actor right away. I think they were going for the token boyfriend, mate, spouse, whatever, who's as different as the protagonist. And so the most different they could come up with was person of color and an alien on top of it. And I think that's the math they were doing. Only problem is they have to immediately dispatch that person, whoever it happens to be. You see what I'm saying? So they got caught in their own little catch 22. Yeah. Which is, we want the most diverse partner, but at the same time, we have to off the partner. So then this is what happens. Yeah. The only other thing they could have done is, I mean, if they want to, you know, get the woke points or like, you know, she could have had a female partner and then she could have got off right away. And then someone would have said, that's the token, kill off the gay love interest thing. You see what I'm saying? So you have to like choose your poison.
I guess, man. It was just noticeable. I got over it because there was just so much going on and I figured that they wanted us to get over it. So
I noticed his race and alien ship just because I knew, because that's how it had to be, but then he has to die as well. But that is that's just a result of the first part having to be true from a casting point of view. You know
so
what I mean?
Have we seen this type of alien before? Is he new? I don't know what he was.
I think he's new, but he had that eye flick blink that has become popular in a lot of sci-fi, like, recently.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of aliens, like, in Discovery, and different aliens in Discovery and in the movies, the newer movies, that have that similar CGI eye blink. That's the only other thing I could really notice. Otherwise, I'm assuming he's a new alien race.
Okay. Because she mentioned it, because I think he was kind of telepathic or empathic, maybe. And but I, after watching it and not catching it the first time, I was just like, okay, well, I have to learn about him later. But he's dead, so whatever.
Actually, my first thought seeing the scene was, I thought he was the same black actor who was one of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in the original season one of that show. Because he really resembled the black actor from Power Rangers. But the age wouldn't work out right, like, you know, in terms of
years.
Yeah,
it doesn't, yeah.
But at first, I was like, man, that guy, he looks like it's him, and he just aged well. But no, they just kind of resemble each other in a way.
Okay. So then we're going with all black men look alike, or...
No, just those two.
I'm just making sense. I'm just making fun of you right now. anyway, so then we had the really good... I'm a damsel in distress, but then I'm activated and I know how to kick ass. And
very common thing that's been coming up a lot. And ironically, it kind of started, or one of the first recent examples is Logan, of all things.
Or Firefly.
Well, of course, yeah, but Firefly didn't penetrate like into the zeitgeist the way Logan did. In other words, only a small group of relatively speaking fans have seen Firefly and aware of that, but Logan is what, like, kind of put it in everyone's mind. And then there's been so many movies and things that have come out since Logan that almost feel like they're all doing the same kind of thing.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Logan invented it or Firefly, you know, but it's just that's what kind of put it in everybody's mind in general. Yeah. And of course, it has Patrick Stewart as well.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it does. All right. Good. So then we get her. She's kicking ass. She disturbed. And she gets a vision of Jean-Luc. Then we go to Jean-Luc. He is hanging out on his vineyard, on his property, his family's property. They're, you know, distilling wine in his wine region of France. I really want some Picard wine. I think I saw where it is on the map. I think they might be doing white wine. I'm not sure. Probably doing a red, but I think that region, it should be white. And I thought it was kind of cool. We rarely saw him at home on the show. I mean, we did, but this was just like really big and grand, and we just got to kind of see him hanging out.
Well, that's kind of all he's been doing, apparently. Since events that happened approximately 18 years prior in his world,
mm-hmm.
He's basically been retired this whole time, and that's all he's been doing.
Right. So then he gets interviewed by a hard-nosed reporter who went back on her word and did not. And so he didn't want to talk about his past, Starfleet, anything that happened.
Well, especially a particular event.
Right.
Was the thing that was off limits.
Right. So this is all new information to us, right?
Some of it is. Some of it not necessarily.
The Mars
thing for sure is a new thing.
That's new.
Yes.
Data dying, not new. But correct. Him leaving Starfleet.
Oh, that's new for sure.
That's new.
But what's not new is the part of this whole thing with Romulus and the evacuation and the catastrophe. That's not new.
Where's that from? What movie? Is that Nemesis again?
No. What certainly is that? Not. Star Trek 2009.
What? Because I didn't think it could quite possibly be from there. Because
of course it would be.
That's a different... Universe.
That is a different universe, but you're still forgetting the movie. I mean, whoa, you're right, that is a different universe. But there are things in the movie that come from the quote-unquote prime universe. If you remember back when we were talking about the movie, that's why we kept saying prime universe all the time. The reason we were referencing it is because it plays a role in the movie. And of course, Picard's from the prime universe. And those events happened, and they are talked about and mentioned and only shown very briefly in the movie. And not only that, though, but back then in 2009, I bought the little prequel comic that came out that was supposed to be the before story of the movie 2009.
Sure.
And I had read it, and the comic all takes place in TNG times leading up to the events of what sets up the movie.
Right.
And so there was some stuff in there, because that involves Picard and Worf and some other characters, or maybe not Worf, maybe Geordi. But some of that stuff I think they borrow from, but it's not exactly the same. And it's also no longer canonical, because there are things that they explain in this episode that make some of that stuff in the comic no longer true anymore. Mm. But there is some connection. Also, that comic helped explain some things that are not really explained in the actual movie, 2009. Mm. And you wouldn't get certain things, because some of those things were like subplot elements in the movie that were cut. Mm. So therefore, there are some question marks, and I can get into those if you want to. The only reason I even think of bringing it up is because it may have something to do with the end of this episode. And that's another possible connection, and I'm not sure. And I can explain that if you want to.
I do want you to, honestly. Okay. So then I'd have to put a link in the show notes about this prequel comic. But explain to me what you mean exactly, because it's been a while. So, yeah, guys, that's why I'm rusty. I don't have it. I'm an old lady now. Explain the connection. So then,
well, because it gets right to the big surprise at the end of this episode. So do you want to...
Okay, but let's lead into... Okay, so 2009 is that Spock did a thing, mm-hmm, and with the red droplet proton, whatever, bomb, and mm-hmm, it destroyed Romulus, right?
Spock, and now this is me going into my memory, not having seen it recently. No, there was a thing that was happening, and it was like the sun or something was going to supernova, the sun close to Romulus,
right?
And scientists saw this coming,
right?
So Spock, and you don't know this, because it's not in the movie, but in the comic, like Spock and Geordi, I want to say, were working on trying to prevent the supernova by doing something to the sun, and trying, they were doing these experiments, trying to, again, not all of this is explained in the movie, but some of it is. And then while they were trying to prevent the sun from supernovaing, their efforts went wrong, and they ended up actually causing it unintentionally, which was going to happen anyway, but they sort of set it off unintentionally when they were trying to stop it.
So and they then, upped the timeline and caught, people were caught off guard, right?
And then, well, yeah, because they weren't expecting to blow it up. And then that event, during that event, is where Spock gets whisked away into his past. And then, of course, him now being in the past sets off the prime timeline. At least theoretically, that's how it works. But it gets dicier if you want to dig more into the Kelvin timeline. That's a whole separate Star Trek conversation/debate.
Let's not do the Kelvin. So we know in prime universe that Romulus is destroyed.
Yes.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And he could not do anything to save it.
Well, Spock was trying to, but he accidentally...
He didn't.
It failed.
And that's how the guy was mad, and he went back, and he destroyed Vulcan, and
yes,
blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Yes.
So, in the Prime Universe, that happens. People did Picard say that people were trying to get Romulans off the planet?
Ahead
of time.
He was leading like this massive rescue effort to try to save people ahead of time. And then I just watched it again not too long ago. At somehow we get from that, him trying to save all these people, to these what do they call
androids.
Them?
Androids.
Yeah, mechanics. But they use a different word. I want to say replicants. I want to say Similac, but that's a drink for babies.
Yeah, that is not.
But it's simulant or it's something like that. Synthetic.
Yeah, I think okay. It's synthetics.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, and then there was this armada, but then these synthetics, for whatever reason, went rogue and ended up massacring all these people.
Yeah, that's what I don't get, where the synthetics massacre come in, because if it was only a thing of Spock not being able to prevent the supernova.
About that for a second. Put that aside as a separate issue.
Okay.
It's a separate issue. That's two different issues around the same event, shall we say. But Spock doesn't have anything to do with what's going on here. It's just, for some reason, these androids went rogue. It was a massacre. And then Starfleet banned all synthetics, period. And then Picard just thought, oh, no, this is just ridiculous. And then that's when he stepped away from his career and everything in his previous life.
So, but then the lady was on about him trying to save Romulans.
Yes.
And like it was a bad thing.
Because why are you sticking your neck out so far for these people? We shouldn't even care about them. And then you did. And then that also unintentionally backfired in its own way.
Okay.
But that's separate from anything.
It was just a lot to unpack in that conversation and a lot of memory you had to have, you know, to remember what was going on.
Apparently right now there is a prequel comic that fills in more of everything we're talking about that they just released.
Okay.
So there's that as well.
All right.
They almost had the same name too, because the first one I was talking about is called something like Star Trek Countdown, and then this one's, the new comic is called something like Star Trek Picard Countdown. So they weirdly have like similar names.
All right. So they doing a dual universe situation again. That's fine. So the lady got hard nosed, and Picard was like, flipped the table, said, we're done with this shit, and left, walked off. And that was that. But during the interview or replays of the interview, what is her name? Dress daughter? She saw Picard and then found him and visited him and wanted to know, do you know me? And he didn't know her. They talked. He kind of told her that she was a synthetic. She started freaking out. What'd you think about this whole exchange?
Nothing other than it's just necessary for the narrative.
Okay, so backstory. Well, it was kind of good to go on her journey, but her leaving his place and then going somewhere and making a phone call to her mom, I'm on the run and I don't know what to do. She was safe, but then she didn't think Picard was safe with her. But then she gets on the phone with her mother, air quote, her mother tells her to
call Picard. I know, it was a T2 moment, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
But then
John Connor is talking to his stepmom on the phone, but obviously his stepmom is not really who she is, and that's exactly how her mother seemed. And it's not clear if her mother has been a government agent this whole time or this was just some computer program masquerading as her mother.
That was not clear, and so I didn't know what to make of that just yet. And then I don't know, like, was it the enemy doing this, or was it a pre-recording? Was she programmed to say that? Like, I don't know. We don't know. just like you said. So then, after leaving Picard for his safety, she then finds him again, not caring about his safety, and action happens.
Yeah.
And she is fighting with these guys, Romulans, and Picard is there. And I really like how they didn't have him running up the stairs as an old man, like all in shape and stuff. He had to stop and breathe because he's old. Enjoyed that because, come on, guys, you're killing me.
Oh, man. No, I just did 4 flights of stairs recently.
Yeah.
And it was bloody murder. And I was like, there's no way this guy like can go up all those stairs. And by the way, just the scene you're talking about where the action happens, I was getting all these weird Future Man vibes just during that
sequence.
That's
hilarious.
These nameless, faceless baddies just showing up out of nowhere and just running for your life. Very Future Man.
Yeah, and Picard saw that they were Romulans. And then something happens where one set himself on fire and spit something on daughter, and she caught fire and died. Right then,
it was
and
a
there,
combination of things, but yeah.
Yeah. So she just caught fire, she died. And then Picard wakes up and there's no record of her. Then he tries to explain it away, like she was cloaked because she was this synthetic and nobody believes him and, you know, whatever. He then, that's just story building. No opinion for you.
Well, her dying at that point is what they call nowadays subverting expectations. That's like, it's become just such a trendy term lately. Where, oh my God, they killed who you think is going to be the heroine in like second, like in the middle of the first episode. Oh my Lord. I was pulseless. I mean, no, it was fine. It was fun, but I'm just waiting for things to unfold before I have any reactions. I'm just like, oh, again, because it's just how everything is now. Like, I mean, with all the shows and all the movies, like it's, oh, of course this happens, because you know it's just the way things are now. I could say the same thing. It's worse, and as much as I love Discovery, and I really do, it's worse, especially when you talk about season one of that show, because that's all they do is subvert your expectations. Yeah. But see, we're so over it now because it's already been done a million times. But okay,
yeah,
it's fine.
I was over it. I was just like, oh.
And I knew as soon as she was dead, quote unquote, I knew. Not because I'd seen any spoilers or anything. I just knew there would be another, and or somehow her consciousness would have been saved a la Altered Carbon or something.
Yeah.
But I knew this is not the end, you know, of seeing her or whatever.
I just let the story unfold. I didn't make any judgment, but I was just like, oh, okay. And then I just let more story happen. So then we went to the Daystrom Institute, and we get... chick who was in Snowpiercer, The Newsroom. She always plays some quirky character, and this here she's like,
I always think of her as like the low rent Kristen Bell, because
that's hilarious.
No insult to the actress, but it's just, I know who Kristen Bell is, and then I always feel like she's the one you call when you can't get Kristen Bell, because they're just similar. Okay, see, now this is a much more racist statement by me rather than talking about the Black Power Ranger. But it, yeah, that's how I've always thought of her. But she's great. I love her.
Anyway, so then Picard, as Sherlock, gets information out of her about synthetics and this one guy who wanted to bring back synthetics, or if you could put a android consciousness and a flesh human. And she was just like, ha ha, that can't happen, you can't be serious. Turns out it could, because her partner was working on it, and the synthetic had a necklace that was the symbol that the freaking guy used, and so it all ended up being possible yet not possible. And their conversation kind of ended on it can happen theoretically, but realistically it can't. And then Picard just kind of had to take that answer.
Yeah, you mentioned Picard being like Sherlock, but I was thinking not so much Sherlock as Obi-Wan Kenobi in Attack of the Clones. Because if I don't know how well you remember that movie, he's doing this whole detective noir thing. Obi-Wan is,
you're right.
But not only like that, it. Not only that though. In this episode, Picard literally goes to the Jedi Temple archives to get apparently B4 is being stored in the Jedi Temple archives, and the same Jedi librarian is working there. She just changed out of her Jedi outfit into her like more clinical looking outfit, but it was bizarrely similar in so many ways, and that it seemed like trademark infringement is what it seemed like, but whatever.
Oh goodness! Shit!
You didn't think that? It looks.
I did
so
not
much
think it,
like
but I mean,
it.
It's just. Well, I was just really happy to see that actress because she was in George R. R. Martin's sci-fi show Night Flyers, and I thought she was really good in that. So I was kind of. It was kind of cool to see her again because she has such a unique look about her. So she's memorable. And so that's where I was going with that. We've seen this before, our whole archives and the person who is like the digital archive person. We've seen it. I felt like shit like that was in Doctor Who and like
sure.
other places, yeah. You know what I mean? So I didn't have that strong a memory or association with Star Wars.
And Obi-Wan trying to figure out what's this clone thing going on that no one really thinks is really
right,
happening.
Right.
This myth. Planet that doesn't exist, but it does exist.
Now that you okay. say it.
I'm surprised Picard didn't go to a diner with this six-armed guy with a mustache,
oh
like Peter Parker's boss.
Picard, old buddy! What can I do for ya?
Okay. Oh my goodness. So, yes, now that you bring it up, it is very similar and hilarious. Okay, that's fine, but it's still the story is still told. I'm still buying it 100%. I'm still loving it.
I had no issues.
Yeah, and then I think shortly thereafter, right, we see the circles from the necklace kind of fade into a circle nebula that kind of looks like it. We're out in space. We see a guy with ears and shadow walking. We think it's Spock from Discovery. Of course, it's not. It's this other scruffy guy.
Yeah, I kind of thought that, too, even though it's another xenophobic / racial thought to have, that to think that he did look like Spock from Discovery, but he's not. He's the low-rent version.
I think they actually wanted us to think that. So
yeah,
I don't know if
maybe,
it's
maybe
racial.
For a second.
Yeah, I don't know. But he is talking. He does a thing, and then... We see the twin of original daughter and her.
Super
and
not the, shocked by that.
Right. Yeah.
Personally.
It was. Yeah, I wasn't shocked, but I'm just like, okay, this explains it. And then I kind of think, oh, I feel like she's going to die, too. And then there's going to be like a third or fourth or you know what I mean? Like,
I maybe. Don't think that's going to happen. That's where Fonty jumps over the Borg ship at that point.
And as Eric just went ahead with it and...
I couldn't help it at that point.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Then we pull out and then we see... Well, wow. The camera pulls out and sees that we are having this discussion on a Borg ship and everybody's just fine with it. You know, everybody's chilling and it's actually called something Romulan base ship or something like that. So before we knew it was a Borg ship... They had towards the bottom in text, Lord of Thirds or whatever, Romulan something something base ship or whatever they called it. So we thought we were on some, I don't know what, just some weird, you know, floating thing, space station in space. We did not know that it was a Borg cube or what looks like a Borg cube. And for me, when I saw that, I was really excited, mainly because like, is it a Borg cube? Is it something just shaped like a cube? If a Borg cube, how the fuck does this happen? Because the Borg are relentless. They want to assimilate everything. How did you get a Borg cube to stop whatever it was doing and stop assimilating for you to get on it and do science on it and it just be a Romulan vessel, if anything,
again,
not a Starfleet?
I feel like there may be some answers out there already.
Answers that are like expanded universe answers or answers that...
A little bit of both. It's what I was talking about earlier.
So comic book answers?
No. I mean, partially. But no, again, Star Trek 2009.
They didn't have Borg in there.
Yes, they did.
They did?
They didn't say the word, but they did. And this is what I was talking about, where I was saying there was like cut scenes and cut parts of the movie. So some of the stuff that was not cut was still there, but it didn't have the explanation it would have had the cut scenes not been cut.
No and context. The only reason,
right, exactly. And it's a little bit more fleshed out in the comic I was referring to earlier as well.
Sure.
But even though it was cut from the movie, there are still things there that exist in the movie because it was by design, so to speak. And I can explain that if you want me to.
Yes, I do.
So, I can't remember exactly how it went because I haven't actually read the comic in 10, 11 years. But going from my memory, in the comic, it's explained that, so, you know, Nero wants revenge or whatever because of what happened. But he's a miner or whatever, you know, like he has a mining ship, the Nosferatu or whatever. And I can't remember how...
Is that that's just not the name of it at all.
What's it? Oh, what is it?
Not that.
What is it?
I don't know. I know it's not that.
It's not that? Hold on.
It is not called the Nosferatu.
Nero's ship. Star Trek.
Kelvin? Oh.
Is definitely not that. That's the Federation. It's the Narada. Sorry.
Okay.
It's weird. I mean, I'm saying Nosferatu because that's how some of the Romulans look in that movie. But anyway, or the Remans and Nemesis. But anyway.
Hilarious. Yes, they do. And that's funny.
But anyway. What I think? Anyway, the Narada. Okay. So in the comments, explained that he had a regular Romulan mining vessel, the Narada. He can't do anything with that in the comic. And there's no way he can exact his revenge or get back at Spock or anybody or do anything. And I can't remember how it happens in the comic, but he acquires Borg technology. And it completely transforms his ship in the comic. And so the ship... Go back and watch the movie, everybody, if you don't know this. If you go back and watch the movie, 2009, and you see his ship, look at it. It's not a normal ship. It's not a Romulan ship. It's a ship that's been completely redone and infused with Borg technology. The whole thing. All of it. And that explains like its crazy size and its crazy power and everything it's got going on. But they never actually say that in the movie. It was supposed to be in the movie, but all that stuff was cut for time. Along with Nero being locked up in the Klingon prison, which was also shot and filmed for the movie, but cut out. All that backstory was there and excised. So anyway, so when I then saw the Borg stuff reveal in this, I mean, my mind just thinks there's some connection here. I mean, it's been done before, let's just say, in that movie where Romulan got Borg technology. So it would be shocking to me if there isn't a connection. You know what I mean? Even if it's, you know, there's something there because this has already been done. And Kurtzman is one of the guys who created this show and who currently runs Discovery Now. And he's one of the guys for 2009. It all makes sense that he's using all his ideas and making them gel with each other. You know what I mean? You know, it makes sense because he had a hand in all of these things as a writer. So it makes sense that there's some type of continuity going on.
So then, refresh me, the Narada, after seeing Romulus being destroyed, went into the Kelvin universe?
Yes, that's what happens in the movie, because Spock goes into like the little wormhole thingy, and then the Narada follows. But because time works differently in the wormhole, Nero actually appears like 30 years in the Kelvin timeline prior to Spock showing up. Right. But he knows this, so he's just been waiting for 30 years for Spock to show up. Except he gets imprisoned for most of that time, which again was cut out of the movie.
Oof, I forgot. I thought maybe we...
Well, no, in the movie, all you hear is Uhura say, sir, there was a breakout on some Klingon prison penal colony, whatever. Oh, okay. It's just a throwaway line. But it was all shot and filmed, and you can watch it in like the special features. You can actually see they actually had Klingons and everything in that movie. It was just all cut out.
Man, that's rough. Ugh. All right, well, shit.
Well, so anyway, I'm
that's
just...
so good. So, I'm glad you read that, because that's just like a whole bunch of things that didn't seem connected. And I don't know, the Borg ship threw me off big time, because I just didn't have the connection there. Like, the comic book thing.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
I was like, I'm glad that you read that comic book. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I unplugged my...
Oh, okay, sorry.
Accident.
I'm glad you read that comic book, because there's no other way that I would have known to even look for this comic book to make those connections for Picard. And I think that's very interesting, and I like that it's not all new information, that it does tie back to something, and that there are threads, and I appreciate that. That makes it even more interesting.
We'll see. Again, and it's funny, because that's like going back to the origins of this podcast. I mean, that time when all this was happening, because that's how much I've changed in the last 11 years. Because kind of like, I guess the thing you were hoping for me to say at the beginning of this discussion about this show, that is 1,000,000% how I felt in 2009 when that movie was about to come out. Like, I was bursting at the seams. Like, I could not wait to see it and for it to happen. Like, my Star Trek fandom was like so reinvigorated at that time.
Yeah.
It is now too. And it was more so when Discovery first premiered, but I'm just a more level person. Measured is the word I was trying to think of.
You?
Yeah. When it comes to these things, I temper my expectations so much, like not expecting everything to be amazing. So that in case it isn't, I'm not that bummed. No, but I really, really love this. I mean, I love the episode, but I'm still reserving my expectations and everything for things yet to come. I'm just like, no, this is a great opening. That's kind of how I feel about it. It's really, really great. Really, really strong. Much better than I could have hoped for. But nothing in particular jumped out at me like, oh my gosh. Like, no, everything just seemed like, okay, yeah, this just seems like normal world building for a premiere of a show. And it's very good, but nothing in particular wowed me other than just the best thing I like about it is just the production values and everything that goes into that, from the costuming to the cinematography, all that basic stuff that sounds basic, but, and I mean, Carl would be saying the same thing, I'm sure, if he was here, which is, we all know that prior to Discovery and prior to the 2009 movies, Star Trek was almost always on a shoestring budget, almost in its entire history, except for the motion picture 79. That was the only time where they got a big budget. Other than that, they always had barely enough money to get by for all the movies and all the series. And to see it, like the imagery and the special effects and all that kind of stuff, it's basically on par to like the Kelvin timeline. I mean, as far as production values go. And like Mandalorian being like, gosh, it's like Star Wars budget for a series. Discovery
really,
is already
thought
like that.
Really, you way about Mandalorian? Because I thought it was on a shoestring. It looked really cheap to me, but we'll talk about Mandalorian another time.
Did not look cheap. I mean,
We'll talk about it another time. I'm sorry I even said that, but I'll give you something to jump off of.
I think both of these shows, and again, Discovery already kind of established this. I mean, like an expensive look for a Star Trek show.
Sure.
But it's a little bit different since that's sort of like its own little thing.
Right.
It's different to see it applied to the Star Trek that we know. Kind of a lot of the again, I love Discovery on its own, but this was exactly the kind of show I would have wanted to see to bring back Star Trek to the television screen, where I've said this before on other Star Trek podcasts we've done together, but there was always a nagging issue with me with the series that we all love from Deep Space Nine and Voyager and Enterprise and all that stuff. It's always bothered me how everything was so sterile and everything. Like, they did a little bit in Deep Space Nine, but they couldn't really take chances because it wasn't the Star Trek Gene Roddenberry way. And that's why a show like Battlestar Galactica took off, because it went where Star Trek wouldn't go. And it's nice. And they try to do with Enterprise and things, and they were getting close, but they weren't getting it, like a poor marksman. You keep missing the target, as Khan says. I mean, Kirk says to Khan. But now they've and Discovery kind of did it, but again, Discovery's weird because it also feels like it's its own thing, just like the Kelvin timeline feels like it's its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more like, this is as prime as we've ever seen. Since 2002, this is the first modern current day Star Trek prime universe that we've ever seen since like 2002, since Nemesis, and
one that was not a prequel, you're saying?
Right.
Okay, I see you.
And but with modern production values, and it's just like, yeah, and not only modern production values, but storytelling in the way we're used to it now in television and et cetera. And so it's like finally arrived after all this time. It's finally gotten there. And it's like, all right, great.
That's exciting.
Or another way to say it much simpler would be like, we've always wondered what would Star Trek be like if it was produced like for the HBO network or something like that. Not for regular network television. And this is, I think, what it would be.
I like it. It's fucking cool. Like they said in Discovery. Remember? They used the F word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then...
Never would have been in the other trick.
And then Kat needs to get caught up on the short treks because, you know... Maybe there's some relevance to what we've seen, or maybe there isn't.
Maybe that's how you know things. Okay, I always forget about the short treks. And isn't there like a Talking Dead style thing after?
There is. I haven't really watched it, but it's out there with Will Wheaton, and they did it for Discovery. They did it with Discovery, and
it was some chick that wasn't related
as well.
The Discovery one was with some person that wasn't related to Star Trek, though, right?
That's true. When it first started, it's like I've met that guy in real life. The one
I
you're talking
it was
about,
some chick though.
His last name is Mira, but you're right. That's how it started. But I guess it transmogrified or something. Because I only watched like the first two or three episodes, and I never watched it again. But apparently, I guess it's different now. And it's continuing with Picard. Yeah.
I like it. I love it. It was, to me, a really good first episode. I have heard nothing but good things from people. Well, I did a little sort of kind of quick Google of it. The reviews that popped up seem mixed, and it's confusing.
That's not what I saw when I Googled.
What did you see? Y'all love?
By and large, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there were some people picking, like, let's see. Here is another grim CBS spinoff. Picard knows Star Trek is a hard sell in 2020. Picard recover from, can Picard, oh, can Star Trek Picard recover from its bafflingly bad premiere? Let's see. I mean, there was just like weird things. And
no, I know, but see, this is why, this is why the internet's bad. Because,
but then you see some other things that say good things, but the people that matter, like who actually watch the show and not just reviewing it in a I review TV shows vacuum.
Yeah, but this is another conversation as well, because I mean, for another sci-fi party line, because similarly right now, Rise of Skywalker has the lowest Rotten Tomatoes score for any Star Wars movie ever, even lower than The Phantom Menace.
And what?
And it's completely absurd.
That
and
is absurd.
And I think that conversation ties into what we're what you're talking about right now with Picard, because when you start reading those negative reviews, you start to understand why or how the writers of those reviews get to where they get. And when you read a bunch of these reviews, like I do sometimes, like they're the most inobjective opinions you could ever see. And like Rise of Skywalker, when you read the negative reviews, it gets punished for so many things that are not actually directly related to the movie itself. It's more like political things in the ether, shall we say. And I haven't read all the negative ones about Picard, but I'm assuming they are the way they are for similar reasons as the negative ones applied to Rise of Skywalker. And they're also absurd. I mean, I haven't read them, but just going off like the titles, the headlines that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
It's like the one that said another dark whatever opening. But what's so short-sighted about a headline like that as it pertains to this show is, of course, it's going to be something like that, because how else is there going to be a story arc for the season? So if we are in a dark place, maybe we need to get out of it. You see, like, so there's only so many things you can do, all right? I mean, what do you want it to do in this new series? Do you want it to just be another regular happy day in TNG land, and then it's just a regular, ordinary episode of the week? I don't understand. That's the only other alternative I can see if you don't something what like what want. We saw.
Sometimes they I don't feel like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So,
kind of what I'm saying is a lot of those writers who write those poor reflexive reviews, they're not artists, let's just say. And so there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, this one, I kind of feel it's hard to say that there was anything bad about it. Yeah, there were things that we've seen before. Was it entirely original? Probably not. But to me, it was still a good watch. I still was interested in the story. The things that I've seen before didn't, tropes, if you want to call them by now. I wasn't bored. I still am intrigued.
Oh, no.
And it's good to see Patrick Stewart in this space again. He still is Jean-Luc Picard. And I don't know. It was good for me.
Let me, because while we were talking, our compatriot,
Tom,
sent a message, and
yeah, I'll read, just
read it real
us.
Quick.
Yeah,
and read then, it. And I'll, because I think it a little bit goes into what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Really excited about Picard. Seems free of the mistakes made by Discovery. Adults act like adults, and we see caring relationships. Threads of plot are all the good ones. Picard doing what's right, even if it's not the patriotic thing to do. The story of Data and Lal was one of the most engaging of TNG, and to follow up on it is exciting. It's not really Lal, but, you know. Anyway, same with the issue of synthetic rights, all good stuff. I was sitting there smiling, unable to believe I was really watching an update to TNG that doesn't feel off, except the dog. That's the wrong dog.
Yeah, that's not exactly a hunting dog, the one that he has. So, yeah.
Right. But, so kind of like what Tom said, which is, I was already thinking myself, as much as I love Discovery, as a whole, and of course we've seen two seasons and some short treks with that show. I love it. It's great. It's different. It's not the same Trek. We get it. But that show in particular, when we just had episode one or the two-parter, however you want to describe it.
Sure.
That, no, things were not clear at that point. Like, is this actually going to be good? I don't know. There was way too many question marks. And I don't mean question marks about plot or anything. I mean question marks about, is this a good direction? Is this a good idea? Because there's so many things that are shocking about it. And I don't mean events like people dying or living. I mean just seeing the Klingons look completely wrong. Right. And other things in the beginning of that series. And I mean, if you stick with the show, I think it rights most of those wrongs or makes them better. But see, this show's different into where I guess they got the Discovery experiment out of the way, because this is a lot of the same people, not all across the board, but there's similar production going on. You know, I mean, similar teams, you know what I mean? And I guess they kind of like realized what did and didn't work mm-hmm. after two seasons of Discovery. Therefore, Picard could just kind of sail in, yeah. You know, like draft in on that precursor that was Discovery. So yeah. And so that's what makes this show kind of a lot better right out the gate. And it doesn't have many of the so-called fan issues that Discovery had and still has going forward. Now, there are some people I know who are bitter, who were already so turned off by fans in their closets, who were so turned off by Discovery, they're still reluctant to even give Picard a chance because they think that it's going to be ruined just like Discovery ruined something for them. But I think that's this is a small group who take that strange opinion. It was great. For the first episode, it was great.
Yep.
I expect more later, but I'm fine with it. I mean, it's a great opening, kind of like, not in the same, but kind of like how I felt when I saw the first episode of Mandalorian, which was, I wasn't like blown away, but I was like, oh no, but this is good. This is good. I'm sure the rest of this is going to be fine in the case of Mandalorian, which it did turn out to be. And then I kind of expect the same for this.
Okay. That's good. It was a good first episode talk, Eric. We will get to a lot of the other shows, Mandalorian, Watchmen, a lot of the other things, movies, Star Wars, all of that in the weeks to come. But for now, we will say goodbye. And we hope you still want to listen to us. To get more information, reach us at scifipartyline.com. We're on Twitter and Facebook. We're also on iTunes, where you can subscribe. We are on Spotify and Google Play. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye. You can cut this if you want, but I'm going to say something really quick. I mean, you don't have to put it in the real episode if you don't want to.
Maybe, but go ahead.
Postscript. Who knows? I mean, maybe with this show... Maybe with this show, Picard, and maybe if it's so inspiring, maybe there'll be some RPG, Romulans Bearing Gifts, coming in the future. Who knows? Who knows?
Easter I hope egg. So. I hope so. End of line.